Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, of course, will always be gold, the markets, the paper markets, politics, and, of course, we certainly have our opinions in all of those, and we'd like to hear your opinion. If you'd like to send us an email, you could do so by sending it to questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. But today is Friday, woohoo, July 12th, 2013, so a great day to be here. In central Pennsylvania, this program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Let's get right to the market report today. And we have gold today is basically unchanged from yesterday at 1286. Silver is down a couple pennies today, 21 at 2004. Platinum was up $4 today at 1411. And we have palladium up a dollar at $725. The USDX today, after that big tumble we've seen in the past week, was up 0.21 today at 82.98. Crude oil today, woohoo, as gasoline price is going to be rising pretty soon, up a buck and a quarter at 106.15. 106.15. Paper markets today, the Dow basically unchanged at 15,463, along with the NASDAQ up 21 at 3,600, and the S&P up 5 at 1680. The 10-year yield, let's pop it up a little bit, 2.60. And, of course, they blame the Dow was down earlier in the day, about 50 points going into the last hour of trading, and they blamed it all on Boeing, because they had an Ethiopian plane, the Boeing 787, that had the battery problems. It was actually landed. No one was on board, but there was a fire. They actually stopped all incoming and outgoing air flights to attend to the problem, and Boeing dropped, I don't know, they dropped about 6-7%, which they all blamed was the reason why the Dow was down. Boeing took the complete Dow down. So that's how good your funds are in the stock market. One company can lower all the funds. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs, folks. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We still have that great little special, $765, still priced at the lower prices of when gold is, before gold and silver big rise yesterday, which was really over 4%. So right off the bat, you're saving 4%. Swiss franc, 0.1867 ounce of gold in the coin. It's great for gold investing and also for barter. And it's a brilliant uncirculated along with 21 ounce silver eagles and includes your free shipping costs. So give the staff a call at 1-800-375-4188. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. So gold is actually down. It's been up $50 in the last 2 days or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And it's down 50 cents today, which is not bad. I wouldn't have been surprised if the powers that be attempted to take gold down after it rose a couple of $20 day plus, over $20 for 2 days. I wouldn't have been surprised. They didn't do that. I don't know that that has any great meaning, but it's good.
Well, the producer price index came out today, and of course, it did show a little bit of inflation creeping into the market. Of course, when they reported on the mainstream media, they always pull out all the energy and the staples of one's life. But so it still shows it creeping up a little bit, and so you would expect to see gold turn around a little bit. And why are you chuckling?
You're talking about creeping, and there was that word CAC we were wondering about.
CAC?
Yeah, CAC. It was something Frank, the producer, was using a few days ago. Mm. And I was inquiring, what does CAC mean? You're talking about creepy, and I don't know. I just rang my bell.
Well, here's something.
I'm easily amused, Melody. As you know, I'm easily amused.
Well, I'll tell you, here's something that should amuse you. A 1954, which was a very good year, Mercedes W196 was part of a group of race cars that won 9 of 12 world championship qualifying races, both in 54 and 55. And that vehicle sold for a record $30 million at an auction today in England. And until the day, the record had been held by a 57 Ferrari Testa Rossa prototype that had sold at an auction in California in 2011 for $16.4 million. So, man, $30 million for a...
Somebody's got more money than they need. You know that?
We used to say more money than brains, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't doubt the guy's got some brains and that sort of thing, but $30 million for a used car is... A little bit high. Did he see if it was, were the tires good? Did they have new tires on there or whatever? I mean, for $30 million, I guess probably had new tires.
Well, it had to do with, the car in particular, it was driven by legendary Argentinian born driver Juan Manuel Fangio, F-A-N-G-I-O, and is the only W196 race car not currently housed in a museum or owned by Mercedes-Benz. Part of the car's ultra-high value had to do with its largely original, unrestored condition. So,
well, all I can tell you is if I had the money to afford a $30 million automobile, I'd be a lot richer than I am right now, I can tell you that. It's like, what are you thinking about? Is that an investment? Is it a publicity stunt? Is it the result of too much alcohol the night before, where the guy, what the heck?
No, it is when you have, if I was a billionaire, they like items where there is one of a kind, rare coins. There's some rare coins out there that people love to have. They have collections, and they enjoy the status of having only one in the world. They enjoy the sexy history of it. It has appeal, and they will pay. But I'd rather have $30 million of gold.
Yeah, so would I. If I had my choice between I don't care what it is, a used car for $30 million and $30 million worth of fresh, shiny gold. I would take the fresh, shiny gold rather than the used car. This is a fundamental principle of economics, Melody, that you learn after a while. You study for a long time and you realize Take the gold instead of the used
car.
Well,
now, Al, for those of us, or for those folks who don't have $30 million to purchase a vehicle, they can go to Walmart today and they can buy Twinkies. Walmart is rolling out the first batch of new Twinkies in 1,600 stores today. And they're
Really new?
They're really new. They're actually being released.
You know, those things will store forever. They may have just opened up a warehouse that was kind of abandoned for the last 15 years and found all these pallets full of Twinkies. And those things are still just as good today as they were when they were made 20 years ago.
Now, Walmart is selling Twinkies in an exclusive collectible. That's what I'm saying. If you don't have $30 million, you can get your collectible Twinkies box at Walmart for $2.98. But these are the first production of Twinkies since the production restarted. Each box that is arrived contains fresh Twinkies and not frozen ones. So,
I'm pretty sure Twinkies were the first GMO food, which is probably why they never spoil. You could keep them forever.
Hey, you remember those little cherries the maraschino cherries? No, those were the first GMO created foods. You can bury them and you can still eat them 30 days later. No. But, so there you go. Two different collections, two different collectible items from the extremes. So 30 million or 298.
Yeah, and I suppose his $30 million automobile will go up to 60 million in the foreseeable future. And your collectible Twinkie box for $2.98.
But that was for
a collectible. Yeah, I know. You can consult a financial advisor to see if collectible Twinkie boxes belong in your portfolio, folks.
Actually, probably the other way around. The $30 million vehicle will probably drop, and the box of Twinkies will go up to a couple thousand. But anyway, let's get off the Twinkie.
All right, what's next, Melody?
Let's twinkle right on here.
All right, I got one for you.
What?
In fact, it's the article that be in the American Survival newsletter coming out. I guess it'll be Monday when it gets delivered.
Yes.
By email. But an article I submitted that just deals with fundamental idea, observation about government spying. And people are concerned about it. And they say, oh my gosh, the government is spying on us. They're monitoring our phone calls and our email. And the government says, we're not reading the contents. We're just collecting the metadata, you know. But what that means is they know everybody you talk to. And they understand that if you're talking to certain people, they can tell what you're talking about. All right? I mean, they can gain 90% of whatever it is you're talking about can be presumed from the metadata that they are collecting. People are concerned, and they're saying, oh my gosh, the government is spying on us. And foreign countries are concerned because the government is spying on them also. And it's caused scandals that here in the United States and in Europe and so on and so forth. So some people are paranoid about the government spying on them. Now, the government says they're not really spying on you or me or Melody. They're just trying to find the terrorists, see? And it's in order to find the terrorists that they got to spy on you and me. All right? Well, most of us understand that the terrorists are just a pretext for spying on you and me. They're going to tell us, we don't really want to spy on you, but we have to get the terrorists. And gosh knows, we got to get those terrorists because, boy, we are very concerned about terrorists, and that's why we don't even bother to secure our borders. We allow illegal aliens to pour into this country. We even encourage them to come in, but we're very concerned about terrorists. And in order to stop terrorists, we have to spy on you. Point I'm trying to get to is this. Who is the real subject? Who is government most concerned about? Are they concerned about terrorists? Or are they concerned about dissidents like myself? They understand that I'm a critic of government. I have been for I've been a known critic of government since 1990. It's been 23 years now since I've been clearly on their radar, standing up and speaking out against government, critical of government. They're aware of me. I mean, I was ready. As a matter of fact, the government rated me as one of the top dozen anti-government activists in the 1990s. All right, and 9 of the 12 were organizations. It was only 3 individuals and 9 organizations. I was in the top 12, and they had a book out on it, the rest of that sort of thing. They are aware of what I'm doing, but does it concern them? Am I a guy that they really want to spy on? Are they going to waste a lot of energy and say, let's see what Al is up to? And the answer is no. Who is the real target of most government surveillance? It's not the terrorists. It's not the dissidents. It's not even the rank and file American people. They're collecting data on all of us, but we're not the ones they're looking at. They're looking at government employees. Understand? This is a very interesting insight because government has just initiated a program called the Insider Threat Program. Huh? And this is a program where government will be, they're encouraging employees to keep an eye on each other. And if you see one of your fellow government employees that's doing something suspicious, well, then you need to report them. Well, you can imagine what kind of paranoia this will inspire among government employees. There'll be government employees that say, I think that guy's suspicious. There's something wrong with that guy. Report it. And the next thing you know, this guy's being investigated. He's going to get angry because he hadn't done anything wrong. The government is going to probably go too far. It's going to be devastating for employee morale. And the point, part of the point that I want to make in the article is that government can't maintain secrecy anymore. The very same computers that allow government to spy effortlessly on you and me and Melody, they can monitor our email, they can monitor our telephone conversations and so on, and they can do it all because of the miracle of computers. All right? That's fantastic, but what do they do with their data after they rely on computers to spy on you and spy on me and spy on Melody? What do they do with the data? They put it on a hard drive. All right? And when they put all of that mass of data on a hard drive, they make it accessible to government employees, like PFC Bradley Manning. Little guy. You understand? Back in the day, James Bond, if he wanted to steal something, he had to blow things up and he had to fight his way to get into the building and the rest of that sort of thing so he could steal the secrets from some enemy. Today, we don't need James Bond. All we need is a little guy like Bradley Manning who's upset about something or who knows whether he's even mentally balanced, but he's in a position to have access to hundreds of thousands of classified documents. And he's in that position because he works with computers. And the same thing is true with Edward Snowden. And the point I'm trying to make is that the same government computers that can spy so effortlessly on all of us are the computers that make the government vulnerable to leaks by government employees. I'm not in a position to leak the information that Bradley Manning leaked when something like 750,000 classified documents went to WikiLeaks thanks to this little private. Or Edward Snowden. He revealed what was going on with the spying situation conducted by the National Security Agency. I can't reveal that. So my point is that government's not concerned about me. Government is deeply concerned about government employees, and as that concern increases, government is going to start predating on its own people. And before you know it, they'll make more people angry. There will be more leaks out of anger. They will leak more material because government no longer inspires their employees' loyalty. And without that, government's got big trouble. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes and a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. What's special does your, Melody?
Well, I'll mention it one more time today. We got that great little special prior to gold popping up so high, along with silver, $765. You will receive one brilliant, uncirculated Swiss franc dated prior to 1933. It's got 0.1867 gold in the coin, plus 20 one-ounce silver eagles. And these are modern issue, 2013 is the date on the coins. Silver Eagles, 20 of those. It includes free shipping for $765. And remember, for those of you who enjoy purchasing the $20 gold pieces, and for those of you who have yet to purchase any $20 gold pieces, it's a great time to be buying them. The premiums are low on them with the prices that we've seen in the gold. They haven't dropped as this last time as much as the bullion coins have. And so they have great upside potential, privacy, and protection. So if you're a bullion buyer, Now's the time to be looking at $20 gold pieces and diversifying your portfolio. It's great to have a diversified portfolio. I want to encourage the listeners to visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. They can sign up for our weekly newsletter, American Survival. We've joined forces with Wendy Wilson, so you'll be getting some health information along with some wealth information. And the website again is DGScoins.com. And if you have any emails that you'd like to send us, questions for myself and Al, questions at DGScoins. We'll get that question to us for the program. And for the late night listeners, we're broadcast all over this country, all over the world, in fact. And so if you have any questions, no matter where you are or what time you listen to the program, make sure you send us your question. You can always listen to the, we'll address your question on the live program, and then you can listen to the program whenever you do and get your answer. And we do have a couple of questions coming in. We have, let's see, for some reason it says we're off the air. So, Frankie, if you can check on that.
Off the air where?
I just have a note coming in on email that, so it doesn't mean we're off the air everywhere. It could just be one spot somewhere. So, Murray, if you can send me a note and let me know. Well, you're not listening if you're off the air. I guess we'll just keep going and
Question. How do you know we're off the air, or is it that your radio doesn't work? You get my you see what I'm saying here? Is it because we're not broadcasting or because you're not receiving? What is the
We'll find out sooner or later. He also sent us prior to that, P.T. Barnum was right, a fool and his money are soon parted. I think he was when we were talking about Twinkies and the Mercedes. Of course, he always understood how the two ever got together in the first place.
You know, I can remember when the Japanese were running so hot and they thought they were just about perfect and everything was going great for Japan, and they bought a painting by, I can't remember his name. Who's the guy that cut off his ear?
Oh, it was Picasso, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Picasso. No. Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Yeah. They bought one of his paintings, and they paid a record price for it. It was one of the big insurance companies in Japan, and they bought this little painting, and it wasn't any bigger than the monitor on my computer. You understand? It wasn't that big a deal. It's just some paint on some canvas. I mean, I like art. Yeah, it's okay. But, I mean, I don't get crazy about it. They paid a record amount on it, and I don't remember what the sum was. But it was right at the peak of Japan's prosperity. And shortly after that, Japan started to go down. It started to decline in its financially, and it went into, I don't know, now, I guess, 20 years of difficult times. And it was interesting to me. I thought at the time that buying that particular painting, it was flowers. It was yellow flowers. I can't remember what it was. Sunflowers, maybe. I don't remember. But to me, it signaled that people had gone too far. They had become so successful that they'd become silly and irresponsible. And when you see that, it signals to me that you're on, that somebody is about to take they're going to take a fall. If you want to hang on to your money, it's just like the email we received, fool and their money is soon parted. You can't afford to play the fool. It is, if you want to prosper, it requires diligence, it requires prudence, it requires industry. You have to keep at it. There's more to it than just winning the lottery. You got to work at it if you actually want to make some money and you want to prosper in this life. And if you start throwing your money away and wasting it in the way the Japanese did with that painting by Van Gogh, or in the way that someone else just spent $30 million on a, you know, I understand it's a collector's item, and I get that. But just the same, it's a kind of foolishness. And it suggests to me, I would watch whoever it was spent that $30 million, I'd be careful. I'd look at that and I'd say, do I want to invest in a company run by a man who's willing to spend $30 million on a used car? And then you say, yeah, it's a collectible nurse. Yeah, okay, I get that. But I'm not sure that that's evidence of responsible judgment.
All things are relative. So you have more billionaires walking around today than ever before. And you're absolutely right. I mean, look how so many of these billionaires have made their money. They've made their money through the banking industry, taking it from the taxpayers, blindly stealing it from people. And usually these things do come to an end. I don't think the world was meant to have as many billionaires walking around as they do today. And you know what's interesting?
I think the world was meant to have one more than they have right now.
Us?
Well, I wasn't going to say us. I was thinking they need one more billionaire with the initials AA. I'm not going to name any names necessarily, but I think there's room for one more billionaire. Well, actually, that would be me. But after that, we're going to cut them all down.
Well, shut them down.
No more billionaires after I make it, then no more.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, too. Just think, though, if he had those were all in U.S. dollars, it was a great way to get rid of those dollars that will be losing value in the future. But you do have a lot of governments that are, you know, beginning to buy buildings and build buildings. It's like building the tallest building and building the most unique design for a building. It gives countries almost some sort of a status anymore.
Yeah, there's great prestige, and it's a way of
signaling.
They're making it. They're big. They're making it big time, and people tend to kind of worship the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be rich, you've got to act rich. All right. And if you can act rich, people will start to give you money, and every TV evangelist understands that to some degree, and so do a lot of salesmen and whatever. You got to play the part, you've got to look the part, and if you do, then people start handing you money. And it's really quite amazing. It has nothing to do with whether you are good at your job or whether you're productive or innovative or whatever. It has to do with whether or not you can play the part. And it's odd, it's strange, but it does appear to be part of human nature. So,
here's a question. According to Money News, Elizabeth Duke's resignation from the Federal Reserve Board and Chairman Ben Bernanke's potential departure in January could set off a series of vacancies and appointments that give President Barack Obama the opportunity to leave his mark on the Fed for a decade or longer. Additional departures, what is up?
Well, you're always tempted to ask, are the rats leaving the sinking ship? Janet Napolitano has...
Yes, she left too.
Yeah, she's bye-bye. She's going to go run the University of California, or maybe the entire university system for the state of California. I don't recall clearly, but she's bailing out of Homeland Security. You can wonder, are the rats leaving the sinking ship? Do they see something coming? We've got an article here that just came out in the last day or two from the Examiner. And Russia Today has reported that in a secretly unannounced move, President Barack Obama signed an executive order giving the Department of Homeland Security the ability to shut down all of the United States communication systems on his request. Barack Obama laid out a statement he titled Assignment of National Security Emergency Preparedness Communications Function. No doubt a very confusing title. The reasoning behind this, his issuing of this executive order, is that he feels the government may one day need to access all of our telephones, computers, cable communications in the name of national security. Now, what the heck is that guy talking about? They need to shut down everything, every means of communication in the country so the government can communicate? They need to shut down my access to the internet so the government has access, what, to me? I can only get my information from the government? This is such a bizarre executive order. And you wonder, what are they thinking about? What is what's the basis for this? Because this says the president feels the government may one day need to access all of our telephone, computers, cable communications, etc., in the name of national security. I don't care about his feelings. I want to know what the reasons are. What are these people up to? Is he getting ready to shut down? I mean, it's you can't look at things like this and not think that there's trouble coming. This is, why would anyone want this kind of power? This isn't just random. You can't imagine, I can't imagine that Obama is saying, well, what will we do today? I haven't written an executive order for, gosh, I don't know, several days now. What'll I do today? I know. Let's do an executive order where the government, whenever I say, can shut down all the communications in the country. How about that? Sounds like fun, huh? Let's do it. He's not doing that. This can't be random. It can't be just whimsical. He's preparing for something where the government doesn't want you to be able to talk to me or to Melody or to Frank, the producer, or anyone else. The government wants, apparently, to be the only source of information under the circumstances that Obama anticipates. So, is this something to be concerned about? I don't know. I'm just saying that it doesn't make sense in any way that's reassuring. It's the sort of thing you look at it, and then you hear stories about Janet Napolitano is quitting Homeland Security, and Dukes is quitting the Federal Reserve, and Ben Bernanke's bailing out, and the rest of that sort of thing. And you wonder, are these leaves in the breeze? Are they telling us which way the wind is blowing, or just random events? Hard to say, but it does get you talking to yourself. It gets me talking to myself in any case. What do you think, Melanie?
You're always talking to yourself out. But no, I mean, it is hard to, it is difficult to know whether they are leaving. When you have these type of high profile folks, and especially Napolitano, that's the one that has piqued my interest. We all knew Bernanke was going to be leaving, and of course any of these Fed people can leave at any time. But her, there was no notice. There was no, I mean, it was just like, today, here's the notice, yeah, I'm out of here. So that to me is a little more interesting. And it's funny, I mean, this is the third, she's the third person to head up Homeland Security, and in 10 years, which to me I think is quite a few folks to have that position. So it kind of makes you wonder what really is going on with that department.
They may have a limit to how much you can take and graft, you know, and once you get that limit, you have to quit and give somebody else a chance. Chertoff, for example, he's the guy behind the scanners that were installed in the airports to try to identify if anyone was trying to sneak explosives onto the airplane in their underwear and their brassiere. He sold all those scanners. I have no idea how. He may even be the guy who spent $30 million on that Mercedes. The point I'm making, it can be a lucrative position. It can probably be an infuriating position. But you have to wonder, why do people, you know, move in, move out so rapidly? It's not evidence of a dedication to government service. It's evidence of people who are there, they take positions of power, they run it for a while, and then it puts them in a position perhaps to take a job that's a lot more lucrative and cushy. And who knows? You know, if I could be director of Homeland Security for a year or two, I could probably get a better job. You know, they say, oh, Al, he used to be director of Homeland Security. Let's hire him to run our business. I don't. The world becomes, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. And all I can say is, I promise you, folks, you will never see the day when I'm paying $30 million for a used car. It's one of the few things in the world you can count on. There's a prediction for you. I will never spend $30 million for a used car. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, here's an interesting article about our teens, 16-year-olds. How old were you, Al, when you got your permit to drive and your driver's license?
I think, if my recollection, I was a sophomore in high school. So I guess that would make me about 16.
Well, I was 19 when I got my driver's license. But the learner's permit, it used to be teenagers, you couldn't wait till you were 16. Yeah. Only about 28% of America's 16-year-olds had a driver's license in 2010, and that is down from 46% in 1983. And this was the statistics are cited from the University of Michigan study, and it was based on a Federal Highway Administration and Census data. And so you're looking at these teens who they don't seem that they have a need to drive anymore. And you could look at the obvious reasons. You know, you could look at the obvious reasons as higher price of gasoline, insurance, maintenance, and even unemployment. For these, because I believe the unemployment rate for the 16 and 19-year-olds is like 24%, you know, 24, 25% up there for that age group. So,
well, one of the things, you know, it is interesting because it really indicates something's happening demographically in this country. And one of my guesses would be that it's evidence that more people are living in the big city rather than in suburban or rural communities. You get out into the suburbs and in rural areas, you got to have a car. You get in the big city and you can make it on public transportation. It may be that cars are too expensive to operate, own and operate for youngsters right now, just because of the way the economy is. That might be part of the explanation, but it may also be people are gravitating into the big cities and moving away from the suburbs. So it's just interesting information, and it's kind of interesting to speculate as to what the answer or the explanations might be, and I'm sure there's others. But
yeah, we talked about another thing. At that age, when we were teens, we drove places. We went to the movies. We went to the local pizza joint, or we went out to friends' houses. We had to drive. Even though we were in the city, we still drove, and we did those things. Of course, not the big cities like, you know, New York or Philly, and, you know, the large cities like that. Today, what do these kids do for entertainment?
Well, they're so sexually liberated, they don't need entertainment. We needed entertainment back. We needed a lot of entertainment. All right? I was happy to watch Howdy Doody. It didn't matter. Give me some entertainment. But nowadays...
Well, they have their computers, they have their games, they have their texting, they can have all the entertainment they want right from their bedrooms and wherever else. So,
all right.
Go on, Al, go on. Moving on along here. Interesting, but not important. Just another sign of the times.
Okay.
Just another sign of the times.
What else we got?
And why don't you take it, Al?
All right, Northern Colorado wants to secede from Colorado.
Yeah.
There's a headline for you. Will North Colorado become America's 51st state? That's what some residents of the Centennial State are pushing for. Representatives from eight northern counties convened on Monday. This is according to CBS Denver. To begin mapping the boundaries for a new state, they say, will represent the interests of rural Colorado. The secession movement stems from a growing urban-rural divide. They are complaining that their way of life is under attack. They're living out in the sticks in Colorado, and they are complaining that people in government are now only paying attention to the big cities, and they are indifference to what's happening in rural America, and therefore this portion of rural America wants to become America's 51st state. And the article concludes, it says, we need to figure out a way to re-enfranchise the people who feel politically disenfranchised now and ignored. Well, my comment is, tell me about it. All right? It's not just happening to a half a dozen or 10 counties in northern Colorado. It's happening across the country. A lot of us would like to secede. All right? I don't know where we'd go, but a lot of us would like to secede and get out from under this government, get out from under a system where Obama thinks he needs an executive order to shut down all communications in this country. I'd like to secede from that myself, tell you the truth, but I don't know where we'd go. Maybe we could be adopted by Canada or something like that. In any case, it's just another little sign of the times to me. Some people, I don't believe we'll ever see a successful secession movement in northern Colorado. But the fact that it's even getting any press and the fact that it's generated interest is evidence of people being upset with government. Here they're upset at the state level, but people are equally upset or more upset even at the federal level. We haven't seen anyone trying to start a separate nation. All right, if you're really angry at the federal government, instead of starting a 51st state, you may want to start a completely new nation. We haven't seen evidence of that, so I guess, I don't know. Does that mean anything, Melody? Is that important, or is that just an oddity?
I think think it's interesting, and it just kind of shows, and, you know, we said this several times today, it's a sign of the times. I think there's a restlessness with folks. They see things that aren't right. You know, we've come to a point where good is bad and bad is good, and, you know, maybe this is a group of people that maybe they're trying to make something right. And I agree with you. I doubt if anything will come of it. But just like we've seen so many of these states, there's, 13 states now that have either written legislation. There's a couple of them that have actually passed the legislation in order to accept gold and silver as legal tender. Mm-hmm. So, again, these are signs of the times. There's recognition that there's problems. And we know that Washington is not addressing the problems. They're only creating deeper problems. They're just keeping things at a very level tone. And so
they're trying to keep things at a level tone.
Trying, but you know, the things that they focus on and in which people focus on is the Dow, you know, all of the most prominent ones that are in your face every day. So behind the scenes, there's a much deeper and much more sinister future that is approaching us. But
and there's the problem that government has, and it's something I bring up in the article I mentioned. Again, American Survival, come out on Monday, which you folks, if you'd like a free copy, contact Melody, and, you know, you can sign up for the weekly newsletter. But as government appears to become more corrupt, as government becomes increasingly contemptuous of the Constitution, government loses the people's loyalty. You know, a lot of people are willing to fight for the government. They sign up, they enlist in the military, and it's not because they expect to get rich. A lot of these young kids, not all of them, but a lot of them really are patriotic. And they think they're going to fight for this country. And after they're there for a few years in the military, they begin to understand that it's not that way. They're not really fighting for this country. They're fighting for our government and the special interests our government represents. And these kids become disillusioned, and the government knows that when they come back from Afghanistan or Iraq, government tries to keep an eye on them. Because these kids they know how to fight, they know how to shoot, and a lot of them, some of them at least, are angry at what they regard as a betrayal of their trust and their innocence as young as teenagers. Often they got into the military under what turned out to be perhaps false pretenses. They are contemptuous of government because government, they have seen it, they know that it lies, that it is not trying to support the Constitution. As people within the government become increasingly contemptuous of government, these are the people who will have access to some of the computers and some of those little hard drives. And they can download hundreds of thousands of documents, just like PFC, Private First Class Bradley Manning. They'll do it because government no longer inspires our loyalty. Government is trying to stop these leaks with computer technology. And if they can lay hands on Edward Snowden, they are going to brutalize that man when they get him to court. They're going to want to send a message to everybody who works for the government. They're not going to send the message to me. I don't have any government secrets. I can't reveal any. But they're going to send a message. They will try to terrify everyone who's working for government that you'd better keep your mouth shut if you know what's good for you. You better not be revealing any government secrets. But the truth is, the combination of computers, which put those secrets, they make the secrets, they concentrate them on one little hard drive. You can carry it around the palm of your hand. You can download much of it onto a thumb drive. The technology works against government, not just for it, it also works against government, and at the same time, government is no longer inspiring our loyalty. Insofar as government is increasingly corrupt, or at least appears to be. It's lost our loyalty. It's lost the loyalty of people like PFC Manning and Edward Snowden. And next thing you know, you've got these spectacular leaks.
So, but you know what, Al? My question is, what the heck are they leaking? I mean, you'd have to be have your head buried in the sand for the past years. We talked about the amount of recording and the computers that they have in various locations around the country and in England that record everything, along with the Patriot Act and so forth. So what is this information? I mean, we all know that Clinton shared information with the Chinaman. I can't think of his last name at this point in time. Secrets were traded at that point in time. I mean, it's an open book when you have computers and you have all these hackers and everything else. I mean, what is it? I mean, everybody knows. So
well,
what's
everyone,
the big secret?
The difference is this. They're dropped. We all know what's going on. All right. But we don't have evidence of what's going on. We have to connect the dots, and we deduce what's going on. But every so often, someone like Manning or Snowden provides evidence. That's what happens. It's one thing to know. We suspect. I know what's going on in the building next door. I see what's happening. I see the people going in and out at odd hours. I know what's going on.
But the corporation, they release their reports and so forth in which they state what they're doing.
Well, like I say, one of the other points is you have the internet, and some things go viral, and for reasons no one understands. All of a sudden, the public just grabs onto a particular story, and it sort of explodes. It could have just laid there, and nothing would have happened to it. But all of a sudden, people grab hold of the story, and it explodes for reasons that are not clear. But that's what's happened with Manning for sure, and with Snowden. To some degree, they've gone viral. Government can't control that. I don't know what the solutions are. I don't think any solution is possible. I think there's no more secrecy for people or for the government. Government won't have any secrecy either. And government will have more leaks. And
I had an acquaintance that in Missouri, where he was a decoder, and all messages that went to the president, which was Kennedy at that point in time, it would have to go through him and his group of men that worked for him. And he told me, he says, you know, I was sworn to secrecy. He says, but I can find half the stuff that I was sworn to secrecy on the internet. Yeah. And this was 10 years ago. So
I understand.
And he said, you know.
There's no secrecy left right now.
No.
I mean, if you're involved with the internet, you have no secrets. If you've got a computer plugged into the internet, I guarantee they can find out anything they want to know. And the same thing is, and it's not just true for you and me, it's true for the government. And the government has secrets. I don't really have any secrets. I'm not doing anything that's corrupt. Right? Most of our secrets are when we're up to something we shouldn't be up to. That's the big secrets, and those are the kinds of secrets that are being revealed by these government insiders, and government's trying to stop. But if you're not corrupt, I don't know, don't have any secrets. Government is corrupt, has lots of secrets. So,
well,
it's interesting times. Interesting times. That's where we are, Melody. And
I'm going to expose a secret.
Interesting times, laughable times. I don't know what kind of times these are exactly, but they are strange. And becoming stranger. Right? I've used the analogy on programs on a number of last few weeks. It's that glass in the Memorex commercial that starts to vibrate and shiver, and then all of a sudden, bang! It snaps and it disintegrates. We're in that right now. The economy, the world, everything is just vibrating. It hasn't fallen apart, and maybe it won't. But it is vibrating like the glass in the Memorex commercial. Insofar as that's true, buckle up, folks. Get ready. We may have some trouble coming our way. We are out of time for today. We will be back. Melody and I will be back on Monday. I hope you all have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.